helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. There have been many reports of Americans losing trust in their institutions. But what happens when it's not trust in our institutions that is crumbling, but trust in the United States itself and its government? We've seen trust in our elections, the military, and our justice system destroyed over the years. Just as the lullaby states, when the branch of trust breaks, the nation will fall. And a great fall it will be. Hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here with the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. You know, this idea of trust, I keep going back to a line from Reagan, trust but verify. And you know, in seeing trust in these institutions crumble, seeing trust in law enforcement, the Department of Justice, and even now to the military, which for the longest time was the stalwart industry that people still trusted when everything else was falling apart, even there, they're losing trust. And as I look at this angle, what happens when people stop trusting the United States? When they stop looking at the United States, yes, we have our problems, we make our mistakes, but this is the land of the free and the home of the brave. And yes, you can make it if you're willing to put in the effort and maybe have a few breaks go your way. When even that level of trust is gone, what happens to the nation? See, unlike places like England and France and Spain, the United States is not a nation built on geography. It's not even entirely built on history, although there's a lot of history to it. It's the idea of truth, justice, and the American way. Anybody else remember when they pulled that from Superman's motto, when they changed it from truth, justice, and the American way? The American way was truth and justice. The preamble to the Constitution said they created this document to make a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. What happens when trust in that breaks? See, the United States is a nation built on these ideas, like a cradle in a branch of a tree, supported by these ideas. The Constitution was part of that. It was the supreme law of the land. What happens when trust in those things breaks? Gravity takes over, and there's nothing to do but fall. For example, we've lost trust in the Republic. Well, a lot of people have. You look at how many people refer to ourselves as a democracy, which we're not, and we never were. But that's because the trust in the Republic has eroded. It got replaced by this idea of we're a democracy. But the fact that we're a republic is important because it means that we delegate some of our sovereign power to elected representatives. But our faith in our trust in the elections have been destroyed. All the way back to 2000, when one group of people refused to accept the results in the Florida election because they didn't get their way. I know they don't see it that way, and I understand, right? But I remember you had the hanging Chads, the pregnant Chads. It was a really bad time to have the name Chad. But what we had was you had one candidate suing over and over and over and being very selective in his lawsuits, suing where he thought he could gain more votes in an attempt to win the Florida, the election for the Florida's presidential electors. And he kept going to court, and he kept going to court, and he would go here, and he would go there. And again, he focused on counties and areas where he thought he could pick up votes. And when the Supreme Court said, listen, you can't do that. The law says counting had to stop here. The law says you've had your chance. The law says you can't simply pick and choose where to pick up elections. Stop it. See, a lot of people were told that the Supreme Court decided that George W. Bush should be president. No, the Supreme Court said, Mr. Gore, you cannot keep searching for ballots this far after the election. You've had your chance. You didn't get it enough. But there are people to this day that still believe the Supreme Court stole the election. They took it away from Gore and gave it to Bush. Even though in not one of the recounts did Gore actually win enough votes to win the election. It never happened. There was never a point in the recounts that Gore was ahead and Bush was behind. But it started it. Because how do you trust? Wait a second. We had hanging chads and pregnant chads. And well, which ones do we count? And some precincts counted them one way and some precincts counting them another way. It was a tremendous debacle. And people started losing trust. We can't have these punch card ballots because of all this problem. And in fact, they said, well, we'll do paper ballots. But they said, we really need to find a way of doing electronic voting, right? Get rid of all these chads and did the person fill in the block properly, or did they write something great? How do we get rid of it? You go to digital, which of course in itself has had a whole bunch of problems. You have people coming forward saying, here, let me show you. Here's a machine, and I'm passing through ballots, and if you count the paper ballots I passed through, candidate A won, but the machine said candidate B won. How did that happen? It's simple. So again, we have questions, we have problems, and if we cannot trust the elections, how do we trust that the people that won the election actually won the election? And if we cannot trust that we, the people, are the ones choosing our representatives, we're no longer a republic. I've talked recently about the city of Bridgeport, whose 2022 mayoral election was so bad, a judge threw it out and said, you got to do it again. Well, they did it again. Actually, it was 2022. It was a 2023 election, I believe. They did it again. And they found so many problems. Guess what? The Secretary of State has sent it to their election commission for investigation and possible disciplinary action. If you live in Bridgeport, Connecticut, do you trust your elections? How about the Milwaukee Election Commission official, Kimberly Zapata? Yeah, she was recently convicted of obtaining false military. She was convicted of misconduct in public office. Because she worked with people obtaining false military ballots for the 2022 midterm. If you live in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, do you trust your elections? See, Ms. Zapata, she created three fake military absentee ballots and sent them to a Republican lawmaker in Wisconsin. By the way, if you think it's only the Democrats that do this, this is a Republican. She's also found guilty of making false statements to obtain absentee ballots to win an election. Or how about this report? The McLaughlin Associates performed a survey of voters, and by a nearly 2-to-1 margin, claim that they believe that President Joe Biden is using the Justice Department to hobble his political opponent, Donald Trump. They want to jail him so that he can't win the election in fall. Now, if he's using the Justice Department to attack a political a political adversary, his opponent in an election, how far will he go? Do you trust the outcome of the election? According to the survey, 56% said they do believe that President Biden wants to stop Trump from winning the election by putting him in jail. Well, so only 30% disagreed. Now, as you can imagine, these numbers kind of change between Republicans and Democrats. But I find interesting is independent voters, 50% believe Biden is trying to jail Trump to get him out of the election, and only 33% disagree. Now, in the survey, 58% said that Joe Biden has played a role in the indictments of former President Trump. 40% say a major role, and 18% say a minor role. So I have to ask you, do you trust the elections? More and more people don't. And what happens when they don't? What happens when they see election malfeasance and they lose trust in the entire elective process? Doesn't that mean that those public servants lose credibility? They're no longer considered legitimate? And does that not crumble the republic? You know, it's one thing to say, okay, we lost in a fair fight. And most people, there will always be some that will not that refuse to comply. But most people, if you lose in a fair fight, will accept the results. But what happens when it's not a fair fight? And what happens when you can't tell if it's a fair fight or not? It's a serious situation. And then I saw this one, and this story, which came out of military.com, it really hurts. See, apparently they did a survey of military families. Now, especially when I'm speaking about the military, I talk about the sacrifices of the men and women who enter the military, but we also have to talk about the sacrifices the families make. Traveling around the world, often at a moment's notice, difficulty in setting down roots, poor pay. The numbers, I don't remember off the top of my head, but I remember the numbers of military enlisted personnel that are on food stamps is shocking. And now, according to this survey from military.com, only 1/3 of military families would recommend service. Think of it this way. Of the people, of the families, of the people in the military, only 1/3 would recommend people enter the service. When the men and women that live with our soldiers, when our soldiers, our seamen, our airmen, our Marines, when their families say, it's not a good deal, don't go into the military. That says an awful lot about people's trust in the military. I think that trust has been eroded even faster with the politicization of the military. The military has always been political, but it seems to have grown to adopt a set of standards that are more about political correctness than about actually defending the United States and our Constitution. When the soldiers, seamen, airmen, Marines that were subjected to medical experimentation as a condition of being in the military, that trust is broken, or at least well on its way to breaking. It's kind of like a fatigue crack, right? The cracks are there. When they get big enough, then it all falls apart. Sadly, I'm seeing a lot more cracks. And they're getting bigger. And I'm beginning to wonder, when do they start falling apart? You know, I bumped into a gentleman just the other day wearing a veteran's cap, military veteran. And I thanked him for his service. I don't know what he did. I don't know where he did it. But he was willing to make a sacrifice to defend this country, and I thank him for it. Sometimes I wonder if we do enough. I mean, it's after 9/11, you know, we started thanking people for their service, and I think it's become rote, and I don't want to do that. I want to honor the men and women that are willing to sacrifice to defend our Constitution, our nation, and our way of life. I want to honor their families. I want to honor the men and women that not just those in the military. I want to honor the men and women. Well, that you call them when you're having the worst day of your life. It's one of the reasons why I partnered with Patriot Mobile. They also honor the real heroes among us, the veterans, the first responders, giving them opportunities to honor them and their service. You can join that movement by joining Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile is proud to support our veterans, our first responders, and I'm honored to be with them. Go to patriotmobile.com/constitution. Find the plans that work for you, the data that works, rates that work for you, the costs that work for you. Use the code Constitution at checkout, and you'll even get free activation. Patriot Mobile is the only Christian conservative wireless carrier in the country, and they happily support organizations like those that support the military, and yes, the Constitution Study as well. So again, go to patriotmobile.com/constitution to find out more. Use the code Constitution at checkout to get free activation. You know, last night I was having a hard time falling asleep. I had so much running around on my head, I couldn't settle down. And then I'd settle down and I'd wake right back up. That's when I reached for Restful Sleep. It's an all-natural supplement designed to calm the mind, to reduce stress, so I could get a better, more restful night's sleep without hormones and without drugs. Backed by documented research, made here in the USA, and vetted by the chief medical board of the wellness company, Restful Sleep works. And as an America Out Loud listener, you can get 25% off of all of the wellness company products and your first month of membership. Just go to twc.health and use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. Once again, go to twc.health and use that code OUTLOUD when you check out to get 25% off the products and off your first month of membership.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
58 million people suffer from joint aches and stiffness in the U.S. every day. Ignoring chronic joint discomfort can affect mobility and your quality of life. Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created joint health and mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexible range of motion. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with clinically proven ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 11 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. It's 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution study. Today we're pointing out that when our trust breaks, the nation as a whole will fall. And we're looking at the actions that have been breaking our trust. Our trust in our elections, our trust in the military, even our trust that the justice system is seeking justice, not simply a political end. Now, there's a lot of people who do not trust the United States, the federal government, when it comes to the southern border. And I heard this one yesterday, and it, again, part of me is incredulous, but part of me isn't. Part of me says, I'm really not all that surprised. See, according to the a report from the Transaction Records Access Clearinghouse, more than 200,000 deportation cases have been dismissed. Simply walk away. No, these were cases where there was a probability, if not a possibility, for someone to be deported because they're in this country illegally. And even with our current, let everybody in, we don't care about the laws. These are 200,000 people that the Department of Justice said, we need to get out of here. And they didn't, their case was simply thrown out. Why? Because the Biden administration didn't file the paperwork. Yeah, this is a paperwork mistake. I use scare quotes. You can't. I know it's radio. You can't see. I use scare quotes because I'm wondering how much of this is a mistake. You see, the Department of Homeland Security, as part of these cases, they're required to provide a notice to appear to the actual immigration court. Right? They gave one to the immigrant, but they didn't file the paperwork with the court. Now that's important because if the DHS doesn't file the paperwork, the court is required to throw the case out. I mean, picture it this way. You're driving down the road, going too fast. You hear that sound in the background. Woo! You pulled over and you get a ticket. You decide, you know what? I'm going to fight this ticket. I'm going to pay this. I'm going to go to court and fight this ticket. And you show up to court. And the court says, I'm sorry, we don't have the paperwork. The officer never filed the ticket, the summons, with the court. So you're all set. Tear that ticket up and go away. Except it's not a speeding fine. It's a fine for breaking into the United States, possibly committing other crimes at the same time. Now, one has to wonder, is the paperwork, what's the old saying, the job isn't done till the paperwork's finished? Is it that the DHS is unable or unwilling to fulfill their obligations under the law? Yeah, the law, remember that thing, law, we're supposed to follow that? DHS is required to file these notices to appear with the immigration court, notices to appear, so that the court can, have them on the docket. And they're not. Now, again, DHS is a ginormous bureaucracy. So could it be that they're just incompetent? They're unable to process the paperwork for this? Possible. I don't know how much work is involved in actually filing a notice to appear. Maybe somebody who's familiar with the process, someone who's actually worked in that process, let me know. Contact me, leave a comment on the show page when it posts, or contact me through the website, constitutionstudy.com. I'll even bring it on the radio to discuss it. I don't know how hard the paperwork is, but you're required to do the paperwork. You know, when I worked in corporate America, the job wasn't done till the paperwork was done. So if my boss said, "Hey, were you done with that job?" "Yeah, I'm all finished." "Then where's the paperwork?" "Well, I haven't done it yet." Then the job's not done. And guess what? If my bonus was based on the job being finished, I made sure the paperwork was done. Now, one possibility, yeah, there's so much going on because of I claim malfeasance by the Biden administration, that they are actively trying to flood this country with illegal aliens, based on the policies they've established, that the DHS just can't keep up with the paperwork. That's a possibility. It doesn't make DHS any less culpable. It just means that, yeah, they're being flooded because their boss, the President of the United States, has set up a process that intentionally overwhelms the system. Now, the other is they're either incompetent or, directly or indirectly, they are part of an attempt to, I don't want to use the word fraud because that's not really the right word. How about snooker the American people? "Hey, we've called for deportation 200,000 times. Yet those 200,000, however many thousand times it is, I don't know. But they never actually went to court. They were thrown out because they didn't do the paperwork. Is it kind of like they did with COVID? We're going to show you, look at, we had 300,000 deportation cases. Yeah, but 200,000 were thrown out because you didn't do the paperwork. I don't know what the numbers are. That certainly is a possibility. And it's not just the administration, it's not even just the federal court. Anybody remember back in 2022, there was a Supreme Court case. I'm drawing a blank on the name at the moment. I remember covering it, but it said that, listen, Minnesota, if Minnesota foreclosed on your home for failure to pay taxes, they were required to provide you with the proceeds above and beyond your fine and some reasonable court costs. And they weren't. They were simply keeping the whole thing. And one case went all the way to the Supreme Court, and they said, no, that is an illegal seizure of property. And we thought it was done with. Well, some people thought it was done with. However, that apparently is not the case. See, in Arizona, an Arizona native, she's about to lose her life savings because of an unpaid $1,600 property bill. The owner admits they owe money, but should they be able to take her entire home for it? See, there are laws in 10 states plus the District of Columbia that says the state doesn't have to return the excess proceeds from a foreclosure. Those states are Alabama, Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Massachusetts, Minnesota, New Jersey, New York, Oregon, and South Dakota. Yay, Tennessee's not on the list. Now, in 2005, Ms. Searle bought a home, 3 bedrooms, 2 baths. She bought it as a rental property. In 2024, it was appraised for tax value at $376,000. But because of a $1,600 tax bill she hasn't paid yet, she may lose that home, that rental income. Now, as I understand it, she doesn't argue that she doesn't owe the taxes. She's trying to come up with cash for the taxes. The problem is, are you going to lose a home worth roughly $400,000 because of a $1,600 tax bill? That, ladies and gentlemen, seems to be, it's just outright theft. I can think of no other way to describe it. Now, somebody says, well, the Supreme Court has already opined on that. They'll say ruled on it, but what does it matter? if the states are saying, yeah, but we've got our laws and our laws say we can do this. Do you see how it erodes trust in our governments, both state and federal? How can you trust that somebody in the federal government, somebody that took an oath to support the Constitution, is actually going to do the job if they're willing to not do the paperwork? Well, let's face it. Nobody in DHS's job is at stake if they don't file these notices to appear. Who's going to lose their job? They've got no reason to do that. So why should I trust that they're going to do it this time? And again, that was a case of filing illegal. What about other documents? Do you trust that the IRS is actually going to calculate your taxes properly? I don't remember the last time I saw it done. It was only a few years ago. There was an organization that would take like 1,000 people that would call the IRS's helpline and ask a question about the taxes, and they would get hundreds of different responses. Do you trust that your taxes are being done for? And do you trust that should the IRS decide to audit you, they're going to be fair? There's certainly a lot of questions behind that. And do you trust that if for whatever reason you fall behind in your taxes, that your city, your county, your state won't simply steal your property to pay a relatively small tax debt? I'm not saying you should get away without paying the taxes. I'm not saying she shouldn't be paying interest on that loan. The question is, can you take a $400,000 home to pay a $1,600 tax bill? That's theft. How do you trust your government if your government's going to steal from you? And of course, this isn't a truly isolated event. We already talked about the one out of Minnesota, but there are other examples. Anybody remember, there's a movie about it. It's called The Little Pink House, about a lady in Connecticut. The Connecticut wanted to use eminent domain to acquire property to sell to a private company, Bayer. And they claimed that it would be an economic boon. Therefore, the public purpose, right? Because you've got the takings clause, you know, property will not be taken for public use except, you know, without just compensation. Well, the public use is we'll improve the neighborhood and it'll be nicer and we'll collect more taxes and life will be good. Well, except this one lady didn't want to sell her home. And her case went all the way to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court of the United States said that this town in Connecticut, this city in Connecticut, could first condemn and then foreclose on her home to turn it over to a private developer. And guess what? Not only did they steal this woman's home, did they destroy its value by legal shenanigans, they stole this woman's home to give to another private entity, not for public use, to give to a private entity. With the blessing of the Supreme Court of the United States, Bayer never actually built on that land. That land, they raised her house to be as part of this land. That land, to my knowledge, has never been used. As of a few years ago, it was still a vacant lot. So I ask you, do you trust government anymore? It's amazing. I've gotten to the point where, you know, I remind of, was it Thomas Jefferson that said nothing anymore can be trusted that is placed in a newspaper? I'm pretty much to the point where I don't trust anything that the government says anymore or anything the government claims to do anymore. I don't trust it, which is in many ways a sad state of affairs. You know, I don't, how do I trust law enforcement with all the reports of malfeasance? I tell the story of when I had a visit from the FBI. It was a cordial visit. They didn't do anything wrong, right? As much as the FBI deserves the beatdown they've been getting lately, here they were doing their job. They were serving a subpoena. They were smart enough, professional enough to call beforehand, and we had a cordial conversation about it. But when the conversation drifted into my property, I didn't answer them. I can't trust them. Not because I don't, I can't, how do I trust them knowing that anything I say could be used against me, knowing that according to the courts, law enforcement can lie to us, but we're not allowed to lie to them. How can I trust that what they're saying is true? I mean, imagine that. You're pulled over in a traffic stop, or an officer knocks on your door and lies to you and says, you must let me in to, we saw that you purchased a couple of guns recently. You must let me in to show you those guns. That's a lie, ladies and gentlemen. I've talked to multiple lawyers about it. It's a lie. You don't have to provide anything. If they want to see those guns, they need a warrant. But they lie to you, and they can get away with it. And you can't call. And if you take them to court, the court simply says, well, they can lie all they want. Why? Because they're the government. However, you lie to them. Government wants to come after you. How do you trust what you're seeing? How do you trust what you're learning in the news? We have all the evidence we need that news outlets are biased. Granted, the majority of the large corporate outlets are biased towards Marxism progressives. But even if you go to other places, you'll see a bias towards other things. How do you trust? How do you know that what you know is true? It's one of the things I bring up when I do my Patriot boot camps. There's one online you can watch now. Go to constitutionstudy.com/patriots. Find out about the Patriots program. Sign up for the boot camp. It's a 1-hour video. And I start with, how do you know what is true? Because if you're depending on other people to tell you what is true, what you probably know is a lie. Now, I had the opportunity to meet a couple weeks ago General Flynn, and I've been told a lot of things are true about him. But in listening to him speak, I'm not so sure what they told me is true. I bring this up because General Flynn has a movie coming out in April where he tells his side of the story. Go to constitutionstudy.com/Flynn movie, FLYNNMOVIE. Find out more, purchase tickets, maybe go to one of the live events and meet General Flynn. Maybe pre-order a DVD. Do that, because the only way we know the truth, though we can trust what we know is true, is if we listen to both sides of the story and figure it out for ourselves. While you're at it, head to AmericaOutloud.news. It's a great place to get news and information, to find stories and podcasts and videos and articles that talk about the news of the day from different views that have different ways of approaching things. You can learn a lot from there. But I'm going to ask you to do something more. I'm going to ask you to share that information. Why? Because knowledge is not power until it is put into action. It is the action of sharing this information that helps all of us secure the blessings of liberty and help keep America free.
Well, the year 2024 must be the year of the Patriot, and AmericaOutloud.news will equip you with all the information you need to give new meaning to the words Patriot Act. For our actions always ultimately define our words. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
In 2008, people could spend an average of 12 seconds on a task without becoming distracted. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds. The digital age is narrowing our attention span. Trouble concentrating or recalling information is frustrating, embarrassing, and kills productivity. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Focus and Recall to boost your brain power. And unlike other supplements that don't work, Focus and Recall is not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients to help you immediately sharpen focus, concentrate longer, and strengthen recall. These physician-formulated gels come in a small gel pack. Tear off the top, shoot it down. Thousands of five-star reviews proves it works. Supercharge your brain and see the difference. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. 58 million people suffer from joint aches and stiffness in the U.S. every day. Ignoring chronic joint discomfort can affect mobility and your quality of life. Advanced nutrition company, HealthyCell, created joint health and mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexible range of motion. And HealthyCell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with clinically proven ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 11 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. It's 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. Today, we're pointing out that when our trust breaks, this nation will fall. I was thinking about the lullaby, right? When the bow breaks, the cradle will fall. That's kind of the situation we are at. In many cases, we are sawing the root of the branch that we are hanging on, that our trust was placed in, that structure our nation. And we're going to be, a lot of people are going to be surprised when that branch finally breaks and the pain they're going to suffer, even though it was obvious we were doing it to ourselves. See, it seems our trust in free speech is gone as well, or at least it's going. More and more polls are showing that college students and recent graduates don't believe in free speech. They believe in censorship. They believe that information that they deem to be wrong should be censored. And this came out in an interesting way recently at the University of California. See, there, considering a proposal to bar different academic departments from posting political statements on their homepages. Now, when I first saw that, I'm like, wow, what's going on here? But I read a little deeper. So the idea is currently political statements are allowed on the different department websites as long as they do not comment on electoral politics. In other words, who's running and who should be supported, anything with that. However, some people are saying this is a rise out of the anti-Semitism that exploded on campuses after Hamas attacked Israel on October 7th of last year. And that's what got me thinking. See, the fundamental precept of free speech is I can speak. I may be held accountable for what I say, but I can speak. Now again, let me preface this. We're talking about a public university system, not a private university system. And we're talking about their websites. So the concern I have is the answer to the evil of anti-Semitism to stop anybody from speaking about anything? I mean, to me, that's the definition of throwing the baby out with the bathwater. I agree. Anti-Semitism is awful. But I'd rather know who is anti-Semitic and who isn't. Wouldn't you? I would rather challenge anti-Semitism with facts and data, with things that for example, I've been having this discussion with someone online through one of my social media comments, who claims that he makes certain claims. I'm guessing it's he, by his handle, but that he claims that I don't know what I'm talking about. That certain statements I say aren't true, not because of the facts and data, but because he disagrees with them. I had a choice, right? I could block him from my page and not allow him to comment, but that's not the response I had. The response I've had is, wait a second, the Constitution says this, and I would quote the Constitution. I'd even point to where it is, give him a link sometimes, or this is what the law says. Now, what I find very interesting is this person's response almost never includes an actual quote proving his statement to be true. He simply declares it to be true, and he considers me an idiot for not believing him in the face of evidence. Now, Bonhoeffer had a theory about this. Just a search for Bonhoeffer's theory is stupid. But to me, the answer to bad ideas is not to shut them up, it's to expose them. Not simply, you know, I understand, I'm probably not going to change this person's mind. I fully understand that. I'd love to at least open his mind to the possibility that he may be wrong. But I don't, based on our conversation over the past few weeks, I doubt that's going to happen. I'd love to see it happen. I doubt it's going to happen. But you see, this is a public discussion. That means other people are reading this as well. At least I hope they are. And I'd like them to see his point of view and how he presents it, and my point of view and how I present it. And hopefully look and say, well, this one guy's making a lot of statements, but he's not providing any evidence. This other guy's making statements, and maybe I disagree with his evidence, but at least he's got evidence. Maybe I'll listen a little more to that. It's why I'm concerned that we have this tendency to shut down information we don't like, as opposed to, okay, here's the evidence that I believe you're wrong. Here's the fallacy of your statement. Here's, and again, not simply by opinion, but by proof, by evidence. Remember, the four fundamental study principles here at the Constitution Study. Number one, it's only an opinion until there is proof. I don't care what you say. You can tell me anything you want, but it's only your opinion until you provide some proof of it. Number two, expert opinions are only opinions until they're proof. See, people look at me as an expert in the Constitution. Fair enough. But just because I say it doesn't mean it's true. It means I should be able to find the evidence to prove that what I'm saying is true, and help explain and point you to the evidence that shows that that what I'm saying is true. An expert doesn't get to define the truth. An expert should be able to find the proof for the truth they are expressing. Number three, original documents are bust. I want to get as close to the original document as possible. Not so-and-so said that so-and-so said that so-and-so wrote a book that's dated this. No, I want to see the original source. And four, double-check your work. You may be wrong. The understanding that it's possible to know something for sure yet be wrong about it is real. And if you're not open to the possibility that somebody, that you are wrong, that there's a piece of evidence that proves that you are in error, then you can never find the truth. That is fundamental. Those are the four fundamental principles of studying here at the Constitution Study. And my concern is this tendency to say, we'll just shut them up. Now listen, again, I hate anti-Semitism, but I'm not willing to shut them up. I want to expose them for the ignorant fools that they are. Speaking of ignorant fools we are, another thing I've lost trust in, racism. I'm not saying that racism doesn't exist, but like the boy who cried wolf, there are a cadre of people for whom everything that doesn't go their way must be racism. It's kind of, you know, to the hammer, everything is a nail. There was another example the other day. Don Lemon had an interview with Elon Musk. And I've listened to part of it, and it was, I don't know, I really was not, I was not impressed with how Mr. Lemon handled himself. I think he asked some good questions, but a lot of stuff was nonsense. But that's not my point. See, he was being interviewed afterwards about that, and he was asked, gee, could it be that Elon Musk just doesn't like you because you're a black homosexual man? It actually had nothing to do with the idiocy of what Mr. Lemon was saying, with how, rather than discussing a something with Mr. Musk, maybe providing some evidence or some data, the way he handled himself simply, you know, that's maybe Elon Musk simply disagreed with him. No, everything's now got to be racial or sexual. And it's a way of not having to prove your point. We're going to use name calling rather than actual facts and evidence, which proves you don't have a case to stand on. My opinion, but when you resort to name calling, that means you don't have an argument, but you don't have one. You just start calling people names. And like the boy who cried wolf, I assume anybody for whom the first answer is racism is a racist, which means Mr. Lemon is apparently a racist homophobe, because he believes the only reason someone would disagree with him is because he's black and gay. That, ladies and gentlemen, is a level of arrogance. I know it's there, but I find it so disturbing. Not so much that people are that arrogant, but that there are people who will look at that and go, The people will take him seriously. I'm sorry, not that I actually took Don Lemon very seriously to begin with, but as soon as he says someone disagrees with me because I'm black or I'm gay, I can't take you seriously at all. You might as well be Charlie Brown's teacher going, wah, 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 wah. Because you just proved me the foolishness of your position. The problem is, as a person who, I guess he was at CNN, right? He was in the media. We lose trust in the media. Again, he made himself the story, not what he was talking with Mr. Musk about. And that breaks down the trust in media. As Thomas Jefferson said, nothing now can be trusted that is put in that polluted product of a newspaper. Nothing can be trusted that is said in the news. And I don't care if you're talking about CNN or Newsmax. Nothing can be trusted. Which means you have to figure it out for yourself. Now, for me, that's a good thing. I think Americans should be checking things out for themselves. I think the fact that we have handed over the curation of our news to the media is a bad thing, because they can lie to you and you'd never know. I think we turn over our sovereignty, we turn over our agendas, we turn over our very souls to those that we blindly trust to give us information. And the fact that they've been found wanting, they've been weighed and measured and found wanting by more and more people, I actually think is a good thing. Yes, it takes more work to do the research yourself, to take what CNN says and Fox News says and Newsmax and maybe the New York Times or the Daily Caller. It takes more time to look at these arguments, see what they're basing them on, and decide for yourself. I understand that. My question is it worth it? Because the more our trust is broken, trust is an interesting thing. It takes a long time to truly build trust. It takes a fraction of a second to break it. Think about it. You know, you don't trust somebody. I don't know about you, but I don't trust somebody because they're in a major news organization. Sorry, don't do it. I was at an event with a reporter, which a journalist, a true journalist, Laura Logan, and I'd heard the name, but it didn't really mean anything. It's when she told her story, and I could see her story being backed up by facts, that I found a little bit of trust in what she was saying. The same is true for other places. Well, again, other news outlets. I tell people, I go through hundreds of headlines each and every night. I'm up to about 600 to 650 headlines most weeknights because I'm getting information from lots of different sources because I want to compare what this site says about this incident versus the other site. And I gave an example just a few days ago about the same story in two different papers with completely opposite headlines. And neither of them were entirely true. See, I'm trying to trust not based in institutions. I do not endorse candidates. Why? I don't trust politicians. Period. I support policies. If you have a policy that is constitutional, that enhances freedom and justice, and I can support it, fine. I don't care if you're a donkey or an elephant. And I know people will be very pissed at me for saying such things. However, if you support a policy that is not constitutional, I won't support it. I don't care if you're a donkey or an elephant. I don't care who you are. Because while the trust has been in politicians, probably never really was there. I've learned to trust in what I can prove. I've learned, and I'm not talking in a metaphysical way. I'm saying when I'm talking about policies, I've learned to trust in what people can provide evidence for. And I think if more and more Americans did that, if they stopped trusting people, if they stopped trusting organizations and groups, they actually trusted if they learned to trust their ability to research themselves, to find out for themselves, find when it's true, then I believe America has a stronger future. If we don't, well, I'm not really sure what comes up next. But I don't think we'll like it. Now, if you'd like to learn more about the Constitution Study and the Patriots Program, go to constitutionstudy.com, search for Patriots, maybe head to the store, try one of my books. I've written a couple of really, people say they really like them because it explains these ideas with evidence, with facts and proof, but in a language that is easy to understand. Again, that's at constitutionstudy.com/shop to find the books and other things that help support the Constitution Study. Now, you can also support the Constitution Study by joining us here every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. You can also listen to the podcast. The episodes usually go to podcast a day or two after they're heard on the radio. And you can listen in your favorite podcast app. But do me a favor, subscribe to the show. Leave us ratings and reviews. It helps other people find the Constitution Study as well. You can find all the links you need at the homepage at AmericaOutLoud.news. But as I keep saying, knowledge is not power until it is put into action. So please be powerful with the news about us and share those links. Help us all share the blessings of liberty.